skimming head with hair, long beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, steaming, flaxen, waxen. Give me down the fair hair, shoulder length.
Phil McCrory started cutting hair in 71, and after spending 18 years sweeping the shorn locks off the floor, he tried to figure out what he could do with all those ringlets and curls, and he came up with not one, but two great inventions. One involves environmental cleanup, the other might have helped make your salad last night.
Ew.
That's right, using human hair on crops. Get ready to meet a guy who's about 15 tons of hair in a warehouse in Florida somewhere. Joining us on the phone right now is the inventor of Smart Grow, Phil McCrory. Hi, Phil.
Good morning.
So you wanted to make a product from human hair. You had this aha moment watching the Exxon Valdez oil spill. Explain how you took the mental leap from watching oil floating on the water on your TV to human hair.
Well, it was the otter that triggered the thought, the otter being saturated. And so
an otter, like a little animal that floats on its back and it's kind of cute?
Right, kind of cute, but he was saturated with oil, and I was thinking, well, if the otter was, you know, getting saturated with oil, then the hair that I sweep up should do the same thing. So basically took the hair home, put it in my wife's pantyhose, created a little imaginary spill there in my little pool, and cleaned the water up. Within a minute and a half, I had the water crystal clear, and all the oil was in the pantyhose loaded with hair.
How'd you talk your wife out of the pantyhose?
Well,
not that way. Giving up her pantyhose, I should say.
That's a little personal, don't you think?
Yeah. But no, she thought it was funny when I called her and asked her. She was at work, and I called her and said, "Where's your pantyhose? I need to." She said, "What are you doing?" But no.
So once you figured this out, you're looking at the pantyhose with the oil absorbed into the human hair. Who did you go to? Who did you say bring this invention to and say, "Hey, this can help you out"?
Well, actually, what I did, and I've had patents prior to that, but and other things, but what I did is a lot of research for 4 years. It was 93 before I applied for the patent.
Wow.
I wanted to know what was being used and how effective it was, and the cost of it, because the cost is a factor when you go to the market. And so I realized that hair would be, you know, very inexpensive, but anyway, there was a lot of research done, and then when I applied for the patent in 93, I received that patent in 95 on a pillow. It would be a nylon mesh pillow. And 2000, February of 2000, I took hair to Auburn University and had them put it in a needle punch machine and basically productized the hair mat.
All right, so the hair mat. What is the hair mat?
The hair mat is made up of 100% human hair. There's nothing there but hair, no chemicals, nothing. But what happens is you put this into a needle punch machine, which was initially designed to make carpet and carpet padding, which they still use it for, the carpet padding. And so the hair goes in the machine, goes through a hopper, it blows it up, and then lays it out on a conveyor, runs it through the machine of about 6,000 needles, and it just makes it into a mat. It resembles a doormat.
Nope. Gives new meaning to the phrase, nice rug.
Right.
So how did you come to realize these hair mats, which I guess initially you thought about them soaking up oil, could be used for helping grow crops?
Well, you know, I was sitting on my patio in the spring of 2000. Now I have a mat in my hand, you know, and I thought, well, you know I've given a lot of hair away in my salons for people for the gardens to deter rodents and deer, and some say it would make their plants grow. And I thought, well, it's protein, so let me try it. I'd had a rose bush that I'd planted in 96, been there 4 years, that never produced a rose. My wife bought it and told me to plant it. I did, but it never grew. It never produced a rose in 4 years. So in the spring of 2000, I dug up where the roots was exposed and put the hair there, covered it back up. And in 90 days, that rose bush grew 15 feet. This is a true story. It's bizarre, but true. 15 feet and was loaded with Seven Sisters bouquets. I mean, just absolutely loaded. And all I did was put the hair there.
All right. Everybody's mouth is open in our studio. We're going to ask you to hang on, Phil, because we want to talk about the signs of it, why your rose bush would grow to that kind of size. Aaron Palmateer is a plant pathologist from the University of Florida who studied Smart Grow. And we want to add to make sure that Aaron has no financial ties to the product. Aaron, can you explain to me what it is about hair that would make Phil's rose bush grow like that?
You know, I wish I could give you a 100%, confident approach, or I
guess, give me a guesstimate. Go for it.
Really, we don't know. This is really it's a preliminary area. We've done trials with containerized ornamental plants, and we are seeing increased growth and promotion in with that particular treatment with the hair mat as opposed to not having the hair mat. You know, at this time, I can only give you my opinion. I think that there's a couple of things going on. I think that, first of all, the mat does act as an outstanding mulch. It retains moisture. It deters weeds. In some instances, it can actually reduce soil erosion. And from another standpoint, I think that the mat, the hair, is actually creating a favorable environment for beneficial microorganisms. I think that there's a really good possibility that that these beneficial microbes, plant beneficial microbes, are accumulating in the areas associated with the hair. And that's where we're seeing subsequently growth promotion of the plant.
So Phil, this is a question for both Phil and for Aaron from our control room. One of the ladies wants to know, does it matter if the hair is permed or colored? Does that affect its ability to help the plants grow? Phil, you're a guy who used to have a salon.
Well, yeah, and this is strictly my opinion. No scientific data to back
this
up.
That's okay.
I know when you perm hair or you color hair, I believe that you actually reduce the nutrients in the hair because it breaks down.
Because you have to strip the hair, right?
Right, right. So I don't think a chemical treated hair would be near as effective as what we call virgin hair that's never been chemical treated. It's well taken care of, which we get the hair from the wig manufacturers out of China, and which is the best hair in the world because wigs are expensive. They want the best hair they can get. And the girls over there grow their hair to sell, so they maintain that hair because the quality matters when they go to sell their hair to the wig manufacturers.
It's their product. Aaron, what do you think about that idea of permed hair or colored hair? It might not do as well.
Well, I have a tendency to agree with him. However, I personally don't believe that the hair is actually a fertilizer. I think that it's creating, again, a more favorable environment for the microorganisms. Being a plant pathologist, I have a tendency to look at the microbes and focus from that aspect.
Any evidence that if you use blonde hair, the plants have more fun?
Well, I will say this. Blonde hair is on an average of 12% nitrogen. Black hair is 15 to 18% nitrogen.
So the plants aren't as smart.
Aaron Palmateer, plant pathologist from the University of Florida, and Phil McCrory, inventor of Smart Grow. You're good sports. Thanks for giving us all the information.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Next up on the Bryant Park Project, the case of a Missouri teenager who committed suicide after being rejected by a boy on MySpace. It turned out the boy was created by an adult neighbor. That case is going to a grand jury, and we have the latest twist in this tragic story. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.